The reading this morning is Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, excuse me, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten by them as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear the slander of many. There is terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and lie silent in the grave. Let their lying lips be silenced. For with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from the intrigues of men. In your dwelling place you keep them safe from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me his wonderful love. He showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserve the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This, what we're looking at in the holidays, are different songs. And the guy that wrote this, was a guy called David. And it says, actually, it tells us, what does it say? For the director of music, a psalm of David. So it's a song that this guy David wrote. Now David, if you don't know anything about David, probably most famous for killing Goliath with a sling when he was a young boy. But he was a musician. So he's that guy that they had a lyre, but basically an early guitar. He's the kind of guy that always had his guitar on, and whenever you went somewhere, he'd start playing some music, and he wrote a bunch of songs. Look, I had a friend like that. He always had his guitar. We went to the beach. He'd pull out his guitar, and let me say he was very popular with the ladies. Okay, he could always play some music. But he just loved playing, making music. And this is, David writes a song here, and he's writing a song. I don't think you'd say it's a happy song. He's really just really upset. We don't know what's going on. It could be anything, because David was when he was young, he killed Goliath, and he played music for the king to help calm him. Then the king found out that he was actually, this young guy, David, was going to promise to be the next king. So the king tried to hunt him. Eventually, that king was killed. Then David became king. And there was a conspiracy, and then he was hunted and running around trying to escape because someone was trying to take over the throne. So we don't know when this is, what the disaster is, but it's a disaster. And I'm sure you've had something where you feel like, I'm in trouble. Have you ever had that? Maybe it's something that's bothering you right now. Let's start with something small. You suddenly go, oh, flip, I've forgotten that. So maybe something like this rings with you. Just give me a minute. Okay, so I've got in my bag some of these things because I always forget things. A mask. Have you ever been now, suddenly we're not really wearing masks much, and then you need to go into like the doctor's rooms or somewhere where you have to wear a mask. I'm going, oh no, have I got a mask? And then I look on the floor of my car and there's one that's been stood on, and I probably shouldn't put it on my face, but it's the only one I've got. So I do that. Anyone? Am I the only one? Okay. Anyone here, dog owners? Anyone stick up your hands if you own dogs? Okay. Doggy bags. Flip. If you forget one and your dog does something and, you know, it's on a very public footpath, you're in trouble. Like, oh no, what am I going to do? I haven't got a doggy bag. Try and get a leaf. And it's just a disaster. Or maybe it's your, I'm always losing my keys. So I have to have them on a long lanyard so I know where they are. I'm like, oh no, where's my keys? Have I locked them in the car? Or this is the worst. I went into hospital once and I didn't have a mobile phone charger. Okay, so I've got the adapter here. Oh, it was 2 days. They didn't even have a TV working in the hospital because I think everyone's got their device. I was just stuck, not even reading a book. I went crazy. No internet. Can you imagine? For 2 whole days. Maybe it's... if you go to school, or maybe you can remember back to these days, you get to school and suddenly you're like, uh-oh, I did do my homework, but my homework book's next to my bed. Oh! And you have that sort of disaster. It's like a shiver going up your throat, and like, like, I don't know what to do moment. Or maybe it's something far more serious, where it might be news from the doctor about a health issue, or worried about someone else. Or maybe it's exam results or whatever the case might be, and we're just worried. And what do you do in an emergency? What do you do? So we have something in church called emergency procedures. So there's a few things, but one of them is if there's a fire, what do you do? Okay, you all run and you start jumping over each other and screaming, this is the end. No, you walk out calmly, there's a fire exit there. Fire exit there. We have two others. If there's a terrorist attack, what we do there, we've written in. And if a child goes missing, we've got these emergency procedures that we do. Emergency, what do you do? What do you do in an emergency? Maybe, I don't know, if there's something really worrying me, like, I'm going to play computer games because I don't want to think about it. Or maybe it's just go to bed. Or maybe it's just have a nice cup of tea. Or maybe you want a cup of tea with something stronger in to help you. Or whatever the case, what do you do when you panic? What's the first thing that you do? Well, we're going to have a look in here. David is panicking about something. He's scared, and he actually turns to God, and he says, please help me. And so I just wanted to, two things we want to have a look at first of all. I think we'll do that in the second talk. But when there is an emergency, what are you going to do? And the answer we see here is really helpful. And we'll have a look in a moment. But first of all, we're going to sing a song. Do the next song. It's Be Bold, Be Strong, The Lord our God is with you. And so it's a helpful thing that goes with the psalm, to know that God is with you. That's the key. So please stand and let's sing this together. Thank you. have a seat. So I asked you to listen out for the verses in this passage. There's a lot of things going on. So one of the first thing is, he says, these people that are against him, it's like they've set a trap. And that's verse 4, if you're following. But he says, God is a fortress, is somewhere where it's safe. So is it Jesse? Can you come up and help me? So I don't know if you noticed on the front here, there's a sign that says free food, and I'm surprised none of you wanted to grab it. Jess is going to help me. You want to come stand this side? Would you like a lovely biscuit? Do you trust me? No, don't. Do you want to take it? Just take the biscuit, it's fine. Why wouldn't he take it? Come on, just. Okay, he says obvious, it's. He's too smart. Give him a hand. Thank you. You can go sit down. Okay, so that trap wouldn't have really hurt him. When I was young, growing up in Africa, we used my neighbor taught us you dig a little hole and you hide in it and you do that, but you'd catch birds. Okay, so that's not. Okay, don't do that at home. Or we used to take the long African grass and tie it where it went on the. This is really mean. On the path, so where the grass crosses, you tie it. So if someone's walking along, they trip. I mean, this is a really horrible thing to do. But this, it's a trap, okay? A trap's not something nice, okay? Maybe think about, you've seen on TV, I've never seen one, the bear trap, those snappy things. Or I think it's a tiger trap where they dig a pit and they put grass over and you walk along and you fall in. A trap is something mean. And he says, David's saying, I'm really worried. These guys are around me. And he says, free me. This is verse 4. Free me from the trap they set before me. You are my refuge. And there's people, we don't know if there's something physical, because a lot of it is all about people saying bad things. And he's saying, protect my name. So he knows people are actually lying about him. So maybe you've had that. You know, there's lies being said about you at school, or false things, and you want to defend yourself, and you're worried about what people are gossiping behind your back, or maybe that people are just being mean to you. Maybe you might be at work, at school, they're trying to catch you out. Sometimes it's not even an enemy. Sometimes it's me. I'm not just worried about things, and he's even saying, just help me remember that you are a fortress. So I've got a fortress here. Maybe not big enough for you. Gabriel helped me build this, but a nice little castle. And he's saying God's like that. You can run inside and put the gate down and be safe. And he's saying, think about that. People might be trying to trap you, but God's your fortress. Or another way, David's talking about being in their hands, what they could do. And so he says in this verse 10, my life is consumed by anguish, my years by groaning, my strength fails me because of my affliction, my bones grow weak because of all my enemies. I'm utter contempt to my neighbors. Now listen to me, parents, if you've ever looked at a teenager and saying, oh, you're being so dramatic, stop going on about things. David is being dramatic. He's using poetic language just to say how hard things are. He's my eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. He's tired. He's worried about whatever he's going through, and he just wants to give up. And so this is a great thing. He's talking to God. So if you're worried about something, you can talk to God and you can let it all hang out. You can moan to him. A lot of the Psalms are just about moaning. You know, you might have that friend where you can go talk to them about a problem, but eventually they say, this is enough. You're making me depressed. I don't want to hear it. But God, you can just talk to. David's going on and on about how hard it is. But then he says in verse 14, but I trust in you, O Lord. You are my God. And this is verse 15 of Psalm 31. This is really a really good verse. My times are in your hands. Your days and your time is in God's hands. He's in control if you're a Christian. He's got you. It says again and again, it talks about him being a refuge, a shelter. Remember that heat that we had? Again, growing up in Africa, it's really great if there's shade. I'm going to try and show you what going to the beach is like in South Africa and Durban in the middle of the summer, okay? So you take your shoes off and you put them in the car, because if you leave them on the sand, they will be stolen. So then now you're standing on the hot tarmac doing this little dance. Then you have to run across the hot sand just to get into the to get into the sea, and then you suddenly have to have your keys sort of wedged into your belt somewhere in your swimming pants. But it's just hot, and it's just horrible. The beach is horrible in the middle of summer, and I love shade, a nice tree, a nice place to keep cool. And he's saying he's your shelter, or he's a refuge, a fortress. So, Ian, can you put up this photograph now? Okay, this is a famous photograph by a French person called, I think it's Jean Godard. And basically, this is off France. It's the part of France that probably sticks out furthest to America, and even a little bit further off. There's this little island, and there's a storm hitting this lighthouse. Can you see? It's amazing that this lighthouse is standing. I mean, that wave looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 stories high. That's massive. Can you hit the next slide? Can you see standing in the door? There's a guy. And the story behind this is they were photographing these waves in this lighthouse, and the lighthouse man came out because he heard a helicopter, and he actually had a cup of coffee, and he was looking up at the helicopter, and this wave broke. So just do the next slide again. You can see him, and then the next slide. There he is. So maybe just go back to the first one, Ian, if you can. The wave, I don't know if it's that one. There's one. It's a huge, big photograph of him standing in there. And he's safe and secure. And so next time, if you're a Christian and you're struggling with something, I want you to picture that man in the lighthouse. That's whatever's coming at you, he's standing there and it's just breaking on his back. And he's got you. He's got you. You're safe. Thanks, Ian. You can go off now. And then there's something I want to... The reason we know this is because... There's something else. He says this in verse 22. In my alarm, I said, I'm cut off from your sight. And so we see that it's a trap versus a fortress. God's a fortress. He's not a trap. It's their hands, the people that want to hurt you, the world, or whatever's going to go on. The things in this world that are scary, their hands versus God's hands, you're safe. And finally, there's a way to either alarm, peace or hope. So if you go to Home Bargains, I know they've got this. As you walk out, there's a sign, and you can push whether you're happy or sad with the service. Have you seen those signs? My children normally want to just go and push all the things. You've seen them. You can either do a happy face or a sad face. It's on an app. I think even Tesco got them on the machines of how you feel. And this is the thing. Which are you going to push when you face a disaster? Are you going to be, So picture Edvard Munch's The Scream. It's a famous painting. Are you going to be like that? Or are you going to have hope? Because he says this, in my alarm I said, I'm cut off from your sight. So when you're going through a hard time, guys, it's going to feel like you're all alone. It's going to feel like, this is what the devil will say to you, God doesn't care. He doesn't even know you. He's too busy doing something else. And that's exactly what it feels like. You're alone. There's a Christian band I used to love listening to. They're called Brave Saint Saturn, and they're very clever. They do it. Their whole 3 albums are like astronauts going on this trip to Saturn, and then they get cut off from Earth. And when you open up the CD cover, it says, "So far from home, but you're not alone." And they're saying that's a bit like the Christian life. We're not home. We're not in heaven, but we feel alone. And let me say to you that you feeling alone is actually a lie. You're not alone. If you're a Christian, you know why you're not alone? You'll never have to be alone because Jesus was alone. Or if you want to put another word, you never will be forsaken because Jesus was forsaken. On the cross, Jesus took all the sin of the world on himself, and he said, God, my God, where are you? And for 3 hours and for however long, he was cut off from God because he took all the sin of the world on himself so that you will never be let go by God. That David, looking forward, could know that he was safe within God, no matter what he did, no many times he messed up. And let me tell you, David messed up big time. There's a lot of scandal, if you want to read about it, but you're going to read about it in Samuel, of what happened. But you're not alone when you're going through that trial, because Jesus was alone. Jesus was alone as he took on the sin of the world for you. So you're never alone, and you can cry out to God. So practically, what does this mean? This might be something helpful for you. It's helped me. I'm a big warrior. Not with swords and stuff. I go, oh, no, I'm worried about stuff. And when I've got nothing to worry about, I'm worried that I've got nothing to worry about, that I've forgotten something. Okay, so I get scared all about all things. One of my biggest worries is I lost my father when I was 12 years old, and I grew up without a dad, and I'm scared that's going to happen to my kids. But the thing is, I need to trust God. It's a good thing, but that out there at the end of the day, God is in control. He's got everyone in his hands. And so whatever you're worried about, and it might be something small, speak to God about it. But this is what I do. I'm worried about something. So maybe you're worried gas prices going up. Worried about the children at school. I'm worried about homework. I'm worried about teachers. I'm worried about my friends. And you go to God with a list, and you go, whew, that's a lot of things to worry about, and you feel even worse. But what David's doing here, he's reminding himself of who God is and trusting God. And the Lord's Prayer does this. It talks about who God is, and then you ask for things. And so I learned this as a really helpful a book on prayer by a guy called Timothy Keller. So next time you pray and you're worried about something, instead of going to God with a list, go like this. First of all, say, God, you're the creator, you're the ruler of the world. Every breath I take, you're in control of. Jesus was alone so that I never have to be alone. So you talk about who God is and what he's done. Then maybe look back in your life, if you've been a Christian for a while, and go, God, I remember when I was really worried about that person I wanted to marry. Thank you, God, that I didn't marry them, that you gave me the right person. Or, God, I was really worried about how we were going to make it to the end of the month, and we did. And so you look at what God has done, and then you say, God, now I'm worried about this. So who God is and what he's done, how he's looked after you in the past, and then you bring your request to him. It just might help the prayer just feel a bit better when you're stressed. So emergency procedure, what you're going to do, a cup of tea might not help. I mean, it might be nice, but what David does is he runs to God and says, God, please help me. And I want you to know that you might feel like you're not home, you're not safe, but you're not alone because Jesus was. And so hold on to that. You're not alone. Amen.